The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
It's still the topic of conversation in many homes, offices, and other places around the country. Occupy Wall Street and police actions in a number of cities over the past few days to clear protesters out of public spaces. We're still looking for your reaction. What do you think? Did the police overreact?
Chris, I've been in Miami, and I think the police were wrong for breaking up the Occupy Wall Street movement in Zuccotti Park. And I don't understand why police are so against the Occupy movement in the first place, especially when they have been under attack by so many things where they're trying to cut their benefits, trying to cut their wages, trying to take so much away from the police officers around the country.
Well, give us your views at 8778-MY-TAKE. But we have somebody here who might be able to answer questions about why police are or are not against the Occupy Wall Street movement. Norm Stamper joins us. He's the former Seattle police chief. Good morning, Norm.
Good morning.
Is it fair to say that police officers are against the Occupy Wall Street movement, do you think?
Yes, no, and maybe. I hate to be cute, but there are some police officers who truly do appreciate the fact that they're part of the 99%, and as your previous caller pointed out, experiencing problems on the job front, including losing employment in many cities. And then there are others who have a real problem with people who break the law. And from their point of view, if you're camping in a public park overnight, you're breaking the law. So it's a difficult question to answer. I would say largely that the police are ambivalent.
All right. That's Norm Stamper, former Seattle police chief. We're going to get back to you in a second, Norm, but let's bring in Bob Henley here, reporter for our co-producer, WNYC. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
It looks like in a lot of places, the Occupy Wall Street movement might be moving, as I said, into the courts, that we could see some legal battles brewing over where and when one can protest legally.
Actually, there was some very good enterprise reporting by the Mercury News overnight. Apparently, the Police Executive Research Forum has coordinated a conference call with the mayors and police chiefs around the country. It's been a very mixed to negative result so far in the courts. We see in Tucson, and Dallas, and Sacramento, the Occupy folks striking out. There was one win in Fort Myers, Florida, where the nature of the application process for permit was flawed, so they won one there. In Trenton, New Jersey, surprisingly, they won one even after a police raid, where the New Jersey ACLU was able to argue in court that they should be able to be there, and in point of fact, even have a generator thanks to the municipality. Basically, Celeste, it comes back to the fact that the First Amendment is not absolute. There's a long precedent for time, place, and manner to be regulated. And on point is a 1984 U.S. Supreme Court case that allowed the National Park Service to deny permits to people looking to protest in support of the homeless by erecting tents on the Capitol's National Mall. So in that point, they were arguing that the tents, in point of fact, were part of their expression of free speech, but it didn't work out that way.
All right, that's Bob Henley, reporter for our co-producer, WNYC. And Bob, I mean, to a certain extent, I wonder if there's a danger here that the Occupy Wall Street movement, as diffuse as it had been, could become more diffuse when it gets tied up in litigation.
It seems that the response on the ground overnight has been for churches and people of conscience to try to help Occupy Wall Street sustain itself. There's a long tradition in this country, particularly with Quakers and people involved with the peace movement, to maintain public vigils over a 24/7 basis. But the problem with that is it requires tremendous organization. And I think you're right to point to a clash of cultures, if you will, because one of the problems with this movement around the country is conventional leadership hierarchical models. I mean, let's be fair. The police are a paramilitary organization. Local municipal governments are based on ranks like deputy mayor. It's very hard for them to be part of an affinity circle. So there's that problem with language, and then there's the underlying issue of the law.
All right, that's Bob Henley with our co-producer, WNYC. Still with us is Norm Stamper. And Norm, you were police chief at the time of the WTO protests, now more than 10 years ago. And one of the things you write about in a piece you wrote for The Nation was that perhaps the law enforcement hasn't learned its lesson on how to deal with protests and do both things, both uphold the law and keep people safe and allow for First Amendment expression. Could you explain?
Sure. I'm in fact, I'm very discouraged by what I'm seeing today, particularly in those cities where chemical agents, pepper spray, tear gas have been used. It suggests that they have not learned from our mistakes, and more particularly my mistakes as police chief in Seattle during the battle in Seattle. I think it's crucial that the police cultivate a strong relationship with activists in their own local communities between incidents or between events, such that there is the kind of relationship that would allow a police officer and protester to actually talk, to forge rules or guidelines that make sense under the circumstances. But what we continue to see is this paramilitary orientation that makes it an adversarial situation.
But, you know, let me ask you, Norm. I mean, supposedly, reportedly, there was a conversation among law enforcement officials in 40 different cities trying to figure out how to deal with Occupy Wall Street. Let me just ask you, if you were on that conference call, what specific things would you tell them to do? How does one clear a park? If you're worried about sanitation, if you're worried about safety and health concerns, how do you clear out some pretty stubborn and determined protesters and keep everyone safe?
Well, let me say that those are legitimate purposes. A lot of people feel, because of my particular orientation and my experience in Seattle, that I have no support for the police mission. I think the police mission is very delicate, very demanding, and very difficult. So you're absolutely right about that. But if you're really committed to talking with and not at political activists, social activists, then you'll forge those relationships in advance and you'll maintain them throughout the drama, if you will, of a major event. The first thing I guess I would ask if I were in a conversation with 40 other police chiefs is, where are the voices of the activists on this line?
Huh. Norm Stamper was Seattle's police chief at the time of the WTO protests in 1999, and Bob Henley, reporter for our co-producer WNYC. The last answer for you, Bob, do you think this will eventually end up in the Supreme Court or a federal court?
I'm sure that some iteration of it will. One that I'm watching very closely is what's going on in Oakland, where the civil liberties groups have a federal case that's looking at what looks like to be Oakland's disproportionate response with the protesters.
That's Bob Henley, reporter for our co-producer WNYC. Thanks to both of you.
Nice.
Thank you.
And we want to get your response. What do you think about the police response in different cities around the country? Overreaction or appropriate? 877-8-MY-TAKE.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.